The following audio is from The Village Church. More information about The Village Church is available at www.thevillagechurch.net.
Let me wish you a happy Mother's Day, and I wish that to all of you, and I know some of you are like, well, I don't have any babies, but I would say happy Mother's Day to you too, and some of you would be like, I'm a dude, and I would say happy Mother's Day to you also, and we don't normally, in fact, in 4 years, going on 5 years here, I've never addressed Mother's Day, and I have never addressed Father's Day, and I get hate mail each week, each time I do that, when I don't do that, and so I figured that this week what I'd do is I'd get the hate mail off of actually addressing it, and so here's what I want to do. If we're going to address Mother's Day, and if we're going to address Father's Day, then we're going to do it biblically, all right? We're going to do it biblically, and we're going to address it biblically, lest we celebrate the wrong thing. Lest we celebrate the wrong thing when there's something very good and something right and something very beautiful that needs to be celebrated, but it might not just be what you think it is. So in order for us to get going on what's going on here, Mother's Day weekend, we've got to read a little bit of the Bible in order to define what motherhood is. Because if we had a chance, and I had a little mic, and we could kind of go around the room and say, what's motherhood, there will be an inference to having a child somewhere in that definition. If I said, what's motherhood? They would be like, well, it's nurturing, it's compassionate. People who had babies, right? Women who had babies. Now, the problem with that is a little bit of a biblical one. And I'll show you what I mean. In Genesis chapter 3, Genesis chapter 3 is the fall of man. God creates the world in rhythm, functioning correctly, everybody in their part. The world's a beautiful place, no envy, no strife, no sorrow. Everything works. Everything God created worked well, worked seamlessly, and everything was pretty much a beautiful reality, and then sin entered into the world. The narrative of how sin entered into the world is that Adam and Eve are walking through the garden. Eve begins a conversation with a serpent. And in that, Eve takes and bites the fruit, gives it to her husband. He takes and bites the fruit. He's with her the whole time. And then I think women have caught a lot of grief for that. But when God starts walking through the garden, who does he ask for? Adam. He does not ask for Eve. He does not blame Eve. He blames Adam. Paul would attest to this also in the New Testament, that the sin entered into the world because of the sin of the man, not because of the sin of the woman. And so you've got the fall of mankind, and everything that was good and right got fractured and broken. We talk about that a lot here. So all of a sudden, wine gave way to drunkenness, and food gave way to gluttony, and sex gave way to perversion, and all that God created good and right in the world begins to spiral out of control. And so God begins to say, because of your sin, here's the result. And he addresses the woman. He says, because of the sin, here is the result. So now there's going to be pain in childbirth. And he begins to list out the difficulties now in the world. All of them for the woman rotate around the home. It's very interesting. If you'll read that, we don't have time tonight. Then he begins to address the man. And interesting enough, for the man, all of the struggles of the man exist outside of the home. And in the workplace, usually, if you'll read through that list, all right, you're gonna work the field, and it's not gonna produce like it once did. It's gonna be with toil now that you work the field. And then after the fall, after everything's been fractured, after everything's broken, that's where we pick up in verse 20. Very interesting verse for several reasons. 20. Here's what it says: and the man called his wife's name Eve. You would think after the fall and all of this mess, he would have had several other names for her, but that's what he calls her. All right. The man called his wife's name Eve. Now this is where it gets very intriguing, because she was the mother of all living. All right. Now let me show you why this is so intriguing. Go down to chapter 4, verse 1. Now, Adam knew his wife Eve. Now, that new right there is new in the biblical sense. Are you tracking with me? Please don't make me explain that anymore. I'll keep reading, you'll know. Here we go. Now, Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived. Are you with me now? Right? Okay, good. All right. Now, Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again, she bore his brother Abel. And now Abel was a keeper of the sheep and Cain, a worker of the ground. Now, let's put these things together. Adam calls the woman Eve because she's the mother of all things, and yet she doesn't have what? Children. She's called the mother of all living things before she has children. So it seems then that motherhood is more extensive and maybe deeper than physically having babies. All right, and I know what's happening. Every mother in here who had their baby naturally is like, don't you take this from me, Chandler, all right? The women that have had epidurals are like, all right, whatever, keep going. I don't know, all right? But natural, all right? They're like, oh, no, he didn't, all right? It's kind of this anger welling up in their hearts right now. Just be patient with me, because in the scriptures, she's the mother before there are any babies. So it seems like something's going on here, and there's something intrinsic within the woman that makes her motherly before children enter into the world. All right, so let's take a look at this. Go back one chapter, Genesis chapter, or two chapters, Genesis chapter 1. We'll start in, we'll just do verse 27. We'll do 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. This is a conversation within the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, let us make man in our image. 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and what? Female, he created them. All right, so God, wanting to display his imagery to the universe, creates man, now mankind, in his own image, male and female in his own image. And so he begins to create, and you know the story, well, I think you know it. He picks up some dirt and he forms a man and he breathes into it. He tells man to find a helper. Man looks over all creation, no suitable helpers found. So God knocks him out, pulls a rib out of him, and makes the woman. And although they are equal, and although they are on the same playing field in terms of the imagery of God, you would be a fool to argue that they're not unbelievably distinct in their creation. Are they not? Yeah, look around. Like God wanting to display the width and the breadth of who he is creates the man and then creates the woman. And as a rule, there are distinctives between the two. Men were designed by God to be physically stronger. Physically stronger. Now, you can hop online and find the one case. You can give me ridiculous arguments here about this woman who's on steroids and bench presses 325 pounds can whoop my four-year-old son, right? And I would be like, well, okay, I guess I'm wrong there. But in the end, it starts getting a little ridiculous and a little, yeah, on a whole, on average, all right, men have been created by God to be physically stronger than the woman, all right? I know you got Tybo out there right now, and there's also, but on a whole. Now, God creates the woman with certain attributes, physical attributes, that the man does not possess. He gives her breasts, And if you think about that, that's a real unique piece. And it's hard in our culture because in our culture, breasts are like decorative. But in most cultures, they are they're for raising children. I might get in trouble for that one on the sit down with the elders Monday. But it's true. I mean, it's true either way. And he makes her hips rounder and he makes her body softer. Yeah, and this plays itself out over and over again. God makes the woman anatomically as a comforter, as a nurturer. Softer she is. Quieter she is. More gentle she is. When we had Audrey, this is how we wired our lives. I was working, it was the first year we were here at the Village, and man, we were working 10, 11 hour days. It was just a interesting time. We've backed off to 10 and a half hour days now. And so the rule was, because I had to get up early in the morning and work all day, that at night, Lauren would take care of Audrey. So if Audrey was crying at 2 in the morning or crying at 4 in the morning, Lauren would get up. Now, what we did though is on Thursday, because I was off on Friday, was my night. And so Lauren would go to bed as soon as it was dark, like 7:15, she was out, all right? She would go get in the bed, and if Audrey cried or if she got upset, it didn't matter what time of the night it was mine. I had to get up. I had to take care of her. So Lauren, at least, no matter how hard things got, Lauren knew that on Thursday, she was getting 12, 13 hours of sleep. And that's how we wired it. And there were specific nights where Audrey would get upset and I would rock her and pat her back and feed her and sing to her and hum to her and pray over her, and 3 hours later ask Christ for help. And I just could not, no matter what I did, get her to quit crying. And she would, if you've had babies, I mean, she was upset, and just her being upset her more. And then it was past the point of me being able to do anything about it. And so I finally there were on several occasions, I just had to wake up Lauren. I just had to say, I can't get her to quit crying. And Lauren would mumble something about her day or something. And then she would get up and grab her. And within minutes, crying turned to silence. Why? My wife's body is softer than mine. She has breasts. She pulled my daughter close, and the softness of her skin and the softness of her voice makes Audrey feel safe, and she slips back into quiet sleep. So, man, I was like putting socks in, trying to hold. I'm kidding. I didn't do that. But I've been off for 3 weeks. I'm not on my game tonight. I apologize. Yeah, that was ridiculous. And I couldn't rein it in. Like, it was going out. I was like, don't do that, Chandler, don't. But it's out now, sorry. Can't get it back. And so my wife's body, built for it. It's built for it. She is, by the way God designed her, a nurturer. The Bible calls Eve the nurturer before she has any children. That motherhood, more than it was going to be having babies, although that's a huge part of it, was going to be instead the role of the woman and how God created the world to function. Now, let me be really careful here, because I don't want you to hear that what I'm saying is that nurturing has something to do with cleaning house and cooking dinner, because that's not at all what I'm saying. In fact, you know, the scriptures tell us that God nurtures us by speaking the truth in love, and sometimes that's very aggressive. Like, this is an interesting study I just finished reading. There was a study on certain adolescents who came from really good homes, but their hearts were just filled with rage, like anger, rage, And so they would medicate him, and they were trying to figure out. And so they started this kind of intensive study on why these kids are angry like this. And here's what they found. In almost every one of the cases, they found a mother who took nurturing to a sinful level. Like, let me explain what I mean. They found in one case that one of the kids would paint, and then as the kid walked away and left the paints and started playing with another toy, the mother would clean up the paint and put it away. And then the kid would move over to this toy, and then it would come back and want to paint again. And so the mother would pull out all the paints and put back up the thing, and the kid would start to paint. And the mother would come over here and clean up the toys over here and clean up the toys over here. And then the kid would leave the paint and come back to the toys that she just put up and pull them out and start playing. So she would clean up the paint, because you can't leave the paint out. She would screw on the top. She would take down the easel. She would put it all up. And then the kid would come back over and want to paint again. And so the mother would get the easel back out. And I see some of you looking at your mom like, who is this mother? All right. Was not my mother, but would pull it all out and set it back up. And then what ended up happening is, as the kid grew and developed, they weren't ready for the disappointment that is life. Because that's the only bubble that you'll get your way in all the time. And so they couldn't deal with kindergarten. And so they began to develop, as they grew, this anger and this rage towards everyone who didn't give them what they want. Because if we would just give them what they want, then, and I don't know if you've ever been with anybody like that, they have this pervasive problem, and they can't ever see that the common denominator is them. And what happened here is, that's not biblical nurturing. Biblical nurturing would be, baby, mommy, put those up. You can paint tomorrow. You can paint tomorrow. Little artist, gone now. Go on, play with your stuff. Go on, play with your stuff. Mommy, put it up. Yeah, this idea of nurturing, like, here's if you break it down in the Hebrew, it's this, that the woman provides nourishment for. Now, my first year here, there was some theological differences on the role of women in church. And so I did an extensive teaching. I think it's like an hour and 45 minutes long on the role of women, how this nurturing plays itself out across the life of the church, across the life of the home, across the life of the community. And so if you're interested in where we stand on that, just go online, villagechurch.net, click on listen, click on what we believe about, click on role of women. It's all there, PDF file, and you can listen to the whole thing. But in the end, how does this stuff work it out? Well, I mean, sometimes it's just biblically black and white. Like the scriptures would say that if you're an older woman, you should be nourishing and nurturing younger women, whether they're your children or not. Like, I would take it a step farther and tell women of all ages that they also have a role to nourish and to press men, young men, children, godly men. Like, I plead with single women all the time, like, to finally just tell, like, when that single man starts throwing game, and he's not godly, but he's the church guy, to confront him, to go, listen, I think you're cute, you're a good looking dude, but here's the problem. I'm looking for someone who loves Christ, because if they love Christ with their whole heart, they'll love me like Christ loved the church, and that's the paradigm, and you're an immature believer. And so I'm out. Don't get me wrong, you look good, but I'm out. Now that's nursing, that's nurturing, that's you being motherly to the guy that's, right, 24, playing the Xbox with no job. I mean, seriously, have you studied statistics on masculinity in the U.S.? I mean, are you kidding me? Congratulations, you mastered Doom 3. Probably time to move on. Well, I just don't know what I want to do. Here's what you do. Get a job. Because we don't find our fulfillment as men in careers. But that's Father's Day. I digress. I just don't know what I want to do. Work. That's what you do. Because if you don't work, you don't eat, and you live with your mom. And that's not sexy. At all. You know it. That's why when she goes, so where are you living? That's why you try to change the subject. Yeah. All right. So why not? Like, you know, Deborah, in the debate over can women be pastors, can be elders, it falls on two lines. There's egalitarians that say women can be pastors and elders, and there's complementarians that would say, no, there are roles, and we have specific roles that God laid out for us and gave to us. And egalitarians love to use Deborah as the example. They love, well, Deborah was a judge. That's the highest level of Israeli governance at the time. So, but here's the thing. If you'll go read Judges 5, where Deborah's judge, she calls herself the mother of Israel and uses that position to engage and encourage sagging male leadership. Nurture. Nourish. Confront. Encourage. Love. This is the role of the mother. And by that I mean the female. Like, I found this verse this week. Like, I would say in this place that you're the mother of this community, whether or not you've had physical children or not. Like, listen to this verse. This is a powerful verse. Isaiah 54:1 says this: "Sing, O barren one, who did not bear children. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not been in travail." Listen to this. Here's why. "For the children of the desolate one will be more than the children of her that is married, says the Lord." So the scriptures admonish, come on, we need you. Mother, mother, nourish, encourage. The number of those without mothers will always far outweigh those with mother. Okay, so at the beginning I said that we are in danger of celebrating the wrong thing. And don't get me wrong, like we've got my mom a little gift, and we got Lauren's mom a little gift, and we're hooking up with them tomorrow, and I'm so unbelievably grateful for my mother. I mean, she was the glue that held us together. She was definitely these things for me. But in the end, it's the wrong celebration, because you're celebrating the shadow and not the form. Here's what I mean. In Genesis chapter 1, the triune God says, "Let us make man in our own image." And the Trinity agrees, because it always does. And they make mankind in their image, both male and female in their image. So that then in the female nurturing and nourishing and mothering, we have an aspect of the character of God that is not so readily seen in the male. So we know, if you read the Bible, there are these times that the masculinity of God is this dominant. Like, you know, when Jesus returns, he's all tattooed up, holding a sword, riding a horse, coming to judge the nations. If it gets more masculine than tats and a giant sword to kill a bunch of nations, I don't know what it is. But then there's this other side to God that he communicates. A nourishing, encouraging, life-giving part of the character of God. And so my dad told me to suck it up. But my mom would hold me and let me cry, right? So my dad would be gruff and straight and hard, and my mom would be slower, more gentle, more. This is God displaying himself to you and to me. So we celebrate mothers, yes, absolutely. Why? Because the Christ in them. And because what Christ is communicating to us about himself in them, gentleness, compassion, sensitivity. And I know some of you are like, well, that's not all women. You're right, because we live in a fallen world. The same reason why servant leadership from men is such an extinct animal, because of the fall. But in the rhythmic way that God created it, this is what it was. And so I'm grateful for my mom. I'm grateful for my daughter, all girl. I'm grateful that when my wife puts her hands in mine, they're so much softer than mine. I'm glad that they're so much more sensitive and compassionate because I just like to make war. I'm so grateful for their compassion. Even my four-year-old, she's got it. We were at the Village Grill. There was a dead bird out in the road, and she was staring at it. Go get him. Go get him. I'm like, he is gone. That is not your daddy's job. That is animal control. But here she is. She's moved. She wants to help it. Yeah. That we might celebrate the creative width of God that would say, yes, I'm this, and yes, I'm this. And so my hope tonight has been, it's kind of all over the map. Like, I know that some of you, you don't have children, you want them so bad, but I would say, well, come on then, mother us. That's what God created you for. Mother, please mother, it's how God wired you. It's how he wired you physically. It's how he wired you mentally. It's how he wired you emotionally. Of course you want a mother. Mother then, mother. And then there are some of us in here that have a hard time forgiving our mom. I'd say maybe it's time to let go. Like, I promise you, as wicked as she was, she did the best she could with where she was. Nobody's perfect. That's why we need the cross. And then there are those of you who are doing this so well. So we should celebrate. We should. I mean, we should celebrate. It should be big. And I'm not. It may not be external celebration. I mean, I'm not telling you to blow out the block for Mother's Day. I mean, maybe if you can do it. I always say blow out the block anytime you can. I mean, maybe it's just a card. And I know that as soon as I was like, Happy Mother's Day, there I saw like eight of you panic. All right? Going to be at Target tonight getting the card. All right? But maybe there could be real thinking on what God reveals to us about himself in our wives, in our daughters, in our sisters, in our nieces, in our, what's God telling us? What's he communicating to us? What's he saying to us? May he be praised for the display of his perfections in the mothering gifted to us in women. Let's pray. Father, I thank you and praise you for the desires you place in our heart, the godly ones, the ones intrinsic and woven in there from conception. And I thank you that motherhood goes well beyond just having babies. And I thank you for what my mom's love for me revealed to me about you, what my sister reveals to me about you, what my wife, what my daughter, what my grandmother revealed to me about you, about your character, about your compassion, about your love, about your... Will you teach us, will you teach women how to walk in this role, how to operate in this role, how to function in this role? I pray that older women would connect with younger women so they might walk them there. Father, this weekend we celebrate you. You and how you display yourself in so many different ways. We love you. It's for your beautiful name that we've prayed and talked tonight. Amen. And I love you. I'll see you Wednesday night. Denton, north of the bridge, here, south of the bridge. See you. Love you.
Thank you for listening to audio from the Village Church, located in Texas. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission. For more information about The Village Church, please visit us online at www.thevillagechurch.net.